Mr. Rush Limbaugh.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Rush Limbaugh, the TV show. We just keep going and going and going. We're always here. We never go away. Back with yet another excursion. We are into televised excellence. Now, let me tell you what we want to do here tonight. I've reached a little bit of a crossroads, but this Whitewatergate stuff has become so complicated, or it seems so complicated. Actually, it really isn't, but it seems that way. And I'm stuck between two different directions here as which way to go. Do we spend a lot of time talking about Whitewatergate and not so much time on some of the other things in the news, or we just go pedal to the metal on Whitewatergate because the people demand to hear about it? I have chosen to just kind of keep everybody updated as best we can on a daily basis with this thing, rather than be talked out of it or steered away from it. I think it's important. There are new developments every day. It's like a little soap opera. And I thought it would be good just to start the program tonight to give you an update as to where we are, some of the things which have happened in the past week or so, just to make sure that you know the latest, which is what we are here to provide. The first thing that we'd like to tell you, in no particular order, Deputy Secretary Roger Altman changed his story now for the fourth time about when he briefed White House aides on the federal probe of the Madison Guaranteed Savings and Loan, or Guaranteed Savings and Loan, which is the savings and loan that's involved with the Whitewater scandal. This is Jim McDougal's SNL, Madison Guaranty. And Altman admitted in a committee hearing chaired by Senator D'Amato, or not chaired, but Senator D'Amato was the leading ranking Republican on the committee. He admitted, yes, he had, as the man in charge of the Resolution Trust Corporation, he had indeed spoken with members of the White House staff about a pending investigation. Clearly a violation of ethics, not allowed. We now find he's changed his story four different times. Here's what I think Altman is doing. Lord Benson, the former senator from Texaco and now the Treasury Secretary, probably isn't going to last this whole term. I doubt that he wants to. It's just a surmise. I don't know anything, not predicting anything. I just think that it looks like he'll probably not last the whole term because he probably want to retire, go home, do something else in Texas. Altman was angling to get the job. Altman was, it's the good old-fashioned suck-up is what it was. Yeah, I'll take care of you, Mr. President. I'll do this. I'll try to, just like any underling, trying to make a good impression. And it's backfired. He's had to change his story four different times now, which, of course, leads to a lot of suspicion. The next thing that's happened, of course, we talked a little bit about it, is in Arkansas, former Judge David Hale entered a guilty plea in a 1986 fraud case. He has previously alleged that as governor, Bill Clinton pressured him into making a questionable loan. And now Fisk, the independent prosecutor, says that Hale has brand new allegations to make that we haven't heard yet. Again, the questionable loan is a $300,000 small business loan made to Susan McDougal, then wife of Jim McDougal. Some of the money then ended up in the Whitewater Development Corporation. The money that Hale lent to people was small business money. It was not supposed to go to power brokers and people that were pretty well off like the McDougals. And Hale claims that Clinton pressured him twice to make this loan. Now, interesting too, as I pointed out the other day, Hale had his office investigated by the FBI on the day Vince Foster died. And Vince Foster received a phone call that day and informing him that Hale's office was to be searched by the FBI, that they had procured the warrants. Now, here's a name that many people may not know right off the bat, and that's Patsy Thomason. Now, Patsy Thomason is a chief White House aide. She has been accused of entering Vince Foster's office the night of his death and secreting files out of that office. She, for the first time this week, has acknowledged entering his office, although she didn't have security clearance, and she has said she'd love to tell people everything about this, but she's being advised not to. But she would love to tell everybody about it. Now, she's just one of about 100 White House staffers who do not have proper security clearance to do this kind of thing. But she's admitted going in there and getting those files. That's suspicious already. I mean, if Vince's death was a surprise and he was depressed, and gee, why would anybody want to go in and get the files? It's, they're just, all of these things add to the continuing suspicion that something really is lurking here that they don't want anybody to discover. Here's another one. William Kennedy III. This guy used to run the Rose Law Firm. He's been brought to Washington as an associate counsel to the president. He was brought in to spearhead the ethics of the White House. He was the ethics watchdog. He was the ethics grand poobah. He was the ethics big guy. And it turns out, guess what? William Kennedy III never paid his nanny's Social Security taxes, just like Zoe Baird never did. And he's at this. The Wall Street Journal ran this story earlier this week, and the White House confirmed yesterday that, yes, it's true. And in fact, now see if I get this right. In order to pay these taxes, he used his former wife, his ex-wife's maiden name, in structuring his whole financial situation. That, what is he trying to hide? Ex-wife's maiden name. And of course, here's now a link to the Rose Law Firm. All of this again adds up to, at least, at the very least, some ethics problems and a lot of hypocrisy. Now, the New York Post has been excerpting all week long a cover story from the New Republic by a freelance writer named L.J. Davis. L.J. Davis has gone to Little Rock to research all of the dealings that are intertwined there, from Stevens Investment to Tyson Chicken to the Rose Law Firm to Madison Guarantee Savings and Loan to the Whitewater Development Corporation to Jim McDougal to a guy named Lassiter to Roger Clinton to Bill and Hillary Clinton. He's been investigating all of these things involving cattle futures and everything else. DeRoy Murdoch in the New York Post on Wednesday has a story reporting how L.J. Davis and other journalists working on Whitewater have been mysteriously beaten up and harassed while in Little Rock. And I want you to read along with me here just an excerpt from DeRoy Murdoch's story. He's a freelance writer here in New York. Read along with me. This is from his story in the New York Post on Wednesday. On March 8th, about 3 hours after sending the New Republic a partial draft of his story by modem, Davis says his phone rang. "What you're doing makes Lawrence Walsh look like a rank amateur," said the male voice on the other end with no introduction. "Who is this?" Davis said. "Seems to me you've gotten your bell rung too many times," the man responded. "But did you hear what I just said?" Davis only managed to reply, "Yes, I did. Is this?" before the guy hung up. Now, this was after March 14th, February 14th, Valentine's Day. This writer got to Little Rock, doing some research, finished, went back to his hotel, the Legacy Hotel, room 502. The minute he walked in, he dropped to the floor, doesn't remember what happened, thinks he was hit on the head. He woke up 4 hours later, partially paralyzed, big knock on the back of his head over his left ear. Doctor came in, says this is not the result of a fall. And nothing was stolen, but three of his computer transmissions to the New Republic were intercepted. And so there are a number of other suspicious circumstances of people being beaten up, people dying. There are more bodies than Vince Foster in this, but their deaths just appear now to be coincidental. But it is this appearance of coincidence. And the continue, you wake up every day and it's a new name. This story doesn't go away. It's a new name, a new allegation, a new this. And that's the latest that there is now on all of this. And I think it's going to, you know, we could spend 22 minutes every night trying to explain it all to you and we still wouldn't have enough time. But these are the latest developments that I think you should be aware of and the reason why the president continues to be in trouble. When we come back, we have two clips from yesterday's show that we didn't get to regarding the president, and then big story on the back page of the front section of the Wall Street Journal today on, and explains so much. It explains why this president seems to behave as though he has no principles, as though he has no agenda, really, as though he has no soul, as though he has no set of ideas that he is stuck to and is going to accomplish them no matter what. This is fascinating, and we'll show it to you all coming next, right after this, so don't go away.
Constitutional oath.
I am.
Now, eight of the most memorable years of American history are yours, captured for all time on video cassette. National Review brings you Ronald Reagan, an American President, a one-hour video chronicle of the Reagan years. It's the story of one man's determination and leadership. of our nation's triumphs, tragedies, and return to greatness. The Reagan years, a time of explosive economic growth and greatness for America. This video will make you laugh, make you cry, make you proud.
I'd like my presidency to be remembered as the one that gave the government back to the people.
Call 1-800-453-8600 now and receive 18 issues of National Review for only $34.95. With your subscription, we'll rush you free and postpaid the video Ronald Reagan, an American President. Call 800-453-8600 now. Call now.
And welcome back. Okay. On Monday night in Florida, the president went to a fundraiser for the Democratic Party, Democratic National Committee. They raised $3.6 million. And we showed you on our show yesterday, our most recent program, a couple of clips from that little gathering. And it was such that we had two more, and we didn't have time to show them from yesterday's show. So we wanted to make sure we get those in, especially since I promised that I would show you. I have to fulfill the promise. And it goes really to, if we have a theme in tonight's show, it is, how can you believe what the guy says? What is his psyche? What is his psychology? What is his pathology? How can he say some things that are so ignorant of the truth all around him? How can he so blatantly lie and make things up with apparently no conscience? No, seriously, without much conscience, how can it happen? Well, let's just show you two clips, and I think you'll get a bit of an idea what I mean. The first one is basically going to be summed up, hey, why are you bothering me? You know, I'm here to fix America, and it's so important. Don't bother me with all this stuff happened a long time ago. Watch this. It's pretty self-explanatory.
This year, we ought to say, look, let's just do something for America. Let's keep our eye on the ball. Let's not demean the political process anymore by being so intensely partisan and so obsessed with who's got power and so obsessed with hurting somebody who's got it instead of somebody who doesn't that we forget that it's all going to be gone before you know it.
Yeah, so we got to get what we want now because we're not going to be able to hold on this forever unless we take over as dictators. Now, but this business, how dare they? It's like Rodney King. Can't we all just get along? And all this partisanship, as though partisanship is brand new. I mean, every time I watch that clip, I just, Clarence Thomas. Do you not remember what happened to Clarence Thomas, Mr. President? And it's all, we got to stop attacking people because they have power. Well, you ought to talk to your feminist friends who are out after every man for committing sexual harassment against them, because they say that all that is about is ending this abuse of power that that men have over women or that bosses have over employees. So it's as though all of these horrible things are happening to him for the first time. They've never, ever happened in humanity before. Never. And it's so unfair. It's so unkind. We really feel sorry for him. Now, this is an example of the out-and-out lie. And it's also an example of, if you don't agree with my plan, then you don't want to do anything. Because my plan's the only plan. My plans are the only plan. My ideas are the only ideas, and if you disagree with them, then there is no alternative. Watch.
When our opponents have nothing else to offer, when they don't have a health care plan, and they don't have an economic plan, and they don't want to vote for any tough decisions to reduce the deficit, and they are mad because the Democrats are now the engine of change on issues like welfare reform and crime, then they resort to the politics of division and distraction and destruction.
Well, now, wait a minute. See, that's a lie. It's just, what else can you call? The Republicans have a health plan. They've got four different health plans. The other night, the Democrats admitted it. We showed you clips from that debate on the floor of the House, and the Democrats didn't even want to talk about his plan. They don't even like it. They wanted to try to discredit the Republican plans. They admitted, therefore, that Republicans have plans. Republicans have a plan. The Republicans have an economic plan. It's called economic growth. It's called reduced taxes. Republicans have a plan. The Republicans have a welfare plan. It's called stop it. Clinton's welfare plan is going to cost us an additional $3 billion more. Have you heard about this? It was in the newspapers the other day. Welfare reform, $3 billion additional dollars. You know why? Retraining. So we got to take these people who aren't working now. The reason they're not working is not for any reason other than they don't know how. So we have to set up federal Bill Clinton training centers to teach them how to work. That's going to cost us $3 billion. That's the kind of reform we don't want. Republicans have a better idea. Just stop it. Yes. They had a better crime bill. The Republicans in the Senate had a huge better crime bill. But the point is, folks, he's trying to tell you there are no other plans, and there are plenty of other plans. We come back, how all this happens, why this president seems to one day say one thing, the next day say another, forgetting what he had said yesterday, not worrying about what he said 6 months ago, not worrying the last time he said something that he contradicts tomorrow. We'll explain it to you. It's as simple as pie to understand now. Back after this.
I don't know how you do it, Walter. Look at this mess. I just can't run my business and keep up with all this reading. Most of it's a waste. Who cares about sea monster sightings in Huron, Ohio? I don't have time for all that fluff. But I can't afford not to keep up on the real business news and what's happening in the financial markets.
This is how I do it, Joe. Investor's Business Daily. In about 12 minutes every morning, I find out everything I need to know about business, the economy, and the stock markets. Most of it's information I can't find anywhere else. That's why I don't bother with these Wall Street papers anymore. Investor's Business Daily. It's my first read of the day. Maybe you should try it too, Joe.
If you're a busy executive on the move, try Investor's Business Daily. Learn why thousands of smart business people switch every day. Call now and get 2 free weeks. That's 10 issues for free. Plus, you'll receive a free audio tape. Call now, 800-257-4242. Investor's Business Daily, your first read of the business day.
Thank you. And welcome back. Remember back to the 1992 campaign, those of you who are watching this show then or listening to my radio program, one of the things that always bothered me was I'd have people who are going to vote for Clinton call me. I'd say, tell me the 3 things you can't wait for this man to do. What are the 3 things he stands for? And nobody could tell me one. Well, Bush has just got to go. No, tell me what Clinton's going to do. Well, you know, things just can't get any worse. No, tell me what Clinton's going to do. Well, you know, Bush is just, he just doesn't care. No, tell me what Clinton is going to do. Reagan had 3 things. He's going to beat the commies, build the military back up, and lower taxes. And when he was elected, bam, 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 it's what he did. Rudolph Giuliani, another example of a politician with principles and issues. He ran on a specific campaign. I'm going to get squeegee guys and the homeless off the street. I'm going to have more cops on the street. I'm going to reduce crime. I'm going to increase in arrests in narcotics. I'm going to do a lot. I'm going to lower taxes. I'm going to get the middle class moving back in. He gets inaugurated. It's everything he's happening. The squeegee guys are gone. Yeah. The cops are on the street. Narcotics arrests are up. They're better armed. He's doing what he said. Bill Clinton's doing the exact opposite of what he said. He said there's going to be a middle class tax cut. There isn't one. All of these things during the campaign that he said he didn't stick to, and all of the things that he didn't tell us he was going to do, he's doing. So how can this be? How come people don't care? And then today, it all came home to roost. Because in the Wall Street Journal, the politics and policy page, there it is. That headline says, Clinton relies heavily on White House pollster to take words right out of the public's mouth. I want you to read a paragraph with me. It'll explain the whole thing. More than any other president, Mr. Clinton, the first baby boomer president, relies on polls and focus groups in helping to determine what he needs to be saying and how he should be saying it. Do you know what that means? It means what's in his heart, what's in his mind is irrelevant. He spent $2 million his first year sending Stan Greenberg, his pollster, out to do focus group research, asking him about health care, responding to news events. And whatever they said they cared about in these focus groups, that's what they told Clinton. Greenberg meets with Clinton. Here's what you ought to say. And Clinton says what you're saying and what you're saying in these focus groups. He'll just moisten his finger, stick it up in the wind. Whatever you want him to say is what he'll say. That is no principles. That's what I was being urged to do during the Perot candidacy. If I were like Clinton during the Perot candidacy, I would have been leading the Perot bandwagon. I would have been seeing to it that he got nominated, or trying to anyway. But, and I'm not trying to hold myself up as a pillar, I'm just saying I followed through with my principles. I thought Perot was wrong, and my audience was mad at me all day long, and I didn't matter. I was going to stay rooted in my principles. Clinton has none. And what's really bad about this is that he's conditioning people to think that government is there to give them what they want. He's articulating what they want to hear. We're going to play a little test, a little game when we come back. We're going to do our own focus group survey with this audience to help the president out. After this, don't go away. You should be mad, that not at the Whitewater scandal, at your tax return. But don't despair. Here comes my first annual tax issue of the Limbaugh Letter, dedicated to all of you who work hard and play by the rules. It outlines how Clinton wants to punish the achievers with the most massive redistribution of wealth ever. It's new taxes, folks. Order now and get free my new 35 Undeniable Truths of Life. 1 year, 12 issues for $29.95. Call 1-800-796-4200. The Rush Limbaugh Center for Political Imaging wants to help the president out in our own focus group research. We have put together three pictures of the president. We have the fighting Bill. We have pious Bill. And we have Big Brother Bill. Now, my friends, to help the president out, you'll see all three pictures on your screen in the studio audience, and we'll have an applause meter. Which of these three Bill Clintons would you most believe if he was responding to charges of the Whitewater scandal? Number one, can we hear some applause? Which would you most believe? None. Number two? And number three? Which is it? Which is it? It's close. Number three, right? Number three is the winner. That's the... Mr. President, if you want to defend yourself in Whitewater, adopt that look. Next question. Which of these three Bill Clintons would best be believed in talking about the healthcare crisis? Number one, let's hear your opinion.